This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
Ladies and gentlemen, as you know, we have something special down here at Birdland this evening. A recording for Blue Note Records.
Time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
It's your birthday. We gon' sip Bacardi like it's your birthday. Go, 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 shawty. It's your birthday. We gon' party like it's your birthday. We gon' sip Bacardi like it's your birthday. Go, go, go.
Time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now here's Carol.
Okay, welcome back again to the Carol Cox Show. We had a little problem with the microphone here, and I'm obviously known to have a screw loose, so this was the perfect moment to have a screw loose. And anyway, thanks for joining. 524-1080 is the number. I'm going to leave this open because of the elections and results of the elections, and this is a free fall. I had many things to talk about, and if you're interested, if you don't want to call in, no problem. If you don't call in, the punishment is you have to listen to me. That's a shame. But anyway, hey, we had some great developments here, and a lot of things came to surface. And what about the perfect storm? I've had mixed emotions the whole week. I've been nauseated and elated and nauseated and overjoyed just on and on. And one of the things that caused nausea was to witness the governor, now standing, but we'll be saying former governor soon, Neil Abercrombie, standing there milking the system and abusing his privileges, in my opinion, while people are still vulnerable to the storms and impacts of those storms. He felt the need to march in FEMA, NOAA, and all of those people. And I think we could have done without that. And I think that what could have been with that time that he had showing his pretty little face on TV about the storm and instilling fear. And these are my observations, my opinions. Now, you may have a different opinion, and I welcome them. But it was unsettling to watch this and to see him fabricate this image in real time, this big smile, the same smile that he had with the cab. And we already know that his policies are failed. We know that he balanced the budget, but we don't know if he balanced the budget while standing on a balancing beam, or was he flat-footed when he balanced the budget? We don't see that, because how do you balance the budget? And then he was telling us about the hurricanes and the impacts of the mountains or Mauna Loa, Mauna Kea, having on the storm. And then I'm sitting there going, good thing the land had an influence on the hurricanes, because you're the dude that raided the hurricane funds for $42 million. Now, others have raided that too. Linda Lingle, I think, and others have tampered and taken from that fund. But I just felt that something is wrong. Either he is asleep at the wheel or really into himself. But let's look at some of the policies and some of the things that he has. We talk about PLDC. We talk about HCDA. We talk about the homeless czar that he had. We talk about the Ron Hahn, the Veterans Administration that he appointed or is working under him. And these were policies and programs that were simply failed when we're seeing people on the streets with a homeless czar. And in the form of Mr. Kippen, and all of these policies. So if you claim you have balance in the budget and children are sleeping on the streets and can't find anything to eat and what have you, and you're conducting raids. And I thought he was there with the Coast Guard, was standing there giving their spiel. And I thought, is this the best way we can use our federal entities and agencies? Is this something that Obama gave his uncle the privilege of phone call goes out to tell all the agency heads in the federal system, be there at Neil's disposal because he's in a moment of desperation, ship sinking, help him write it regardless of, and just stand there. And I felt, wow, why don't someone, one of the news reporters asked the Coast Guard while they're there, hey, what about that investigation you were doing on the molasses? You know, the storm's gone, and the other one's veering off. You know, why not tell us about that? Oh, and Mr. Abercrombie, while you're at it, you got the mic, and you're willing to talk now, but you weren't willing to talk with the other candidates and forums and debates. Didn't want to participate in that, but boy, did he sing like a Mississippi mockingbird. And it was just so on the spot, you know. And I just thought, there can't be a better storm than the brewing, than to see these strong winds blow this administration out of here. Just leave. Be done with it. We've had enough. And 40 years, I think he boasts that he has been here serving the public. But all things matters in this situation. You notice everybody got what they wanted if you had big money and big pockets. But the little people have many unanswered questions when it comes to the environment. You know, the people at Turtle Bay, they got what they wanted eventually through Neil. But programs and we look at the teachers and when you have this number of people objecting to you, then something's wrong. And so I just felt that when I heard the results of the voting, I was elated. And I don't know about you, but I'd like to hear, and this is a time if you'd like to share your comments or thoughts or coming future, because now here comes the battle royale. You know, we got Ahu and Iona and Ige and a few others coming down the pipe. And I'd also like to know, what do you think about this Puna deal where the voting is held up? Is that part of the American fabric where we get to, some portions of the population get to vote? Not because it was a dire situation, but because it was a decision made by, and do we get to, do they get to campaign? All of these questions, I'd like to know. I don't know the state's constitution, but I know that I'm offended that we could have a voting process, and then, you know, Abercrombie came in on a voting debacle. If you recall all the flaws we had and the experiences we had, the bad things that took place with. And isn't it quite interesting that we would find ourselves in a predicament such as this? Why couldn't he have spent those moments that he spent talking to us? And it was a Hail Mary, basically. Scare the hell out of the people and tell them the storm is still out there when you know it's gone and all of that. I just felt that. Enough already. We've been manipulated. Good morning, caller. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Hola, senor.
Hello.
I'm glad to be able to talk about the upcoming election that's going to finalize everything.
Okay, go ahead.
We're in a very unique state. Since Grover Cleveland, it's been Congress's responsibility to deal with Hawaii's nation, and they've done it in a way that brought us up to a state. I'd like to think that our election will truly reflect something that becomes timely, an election that has candidates that go in that show Ola, and candidates that go in there that emphatically support the Hawaiian nation. And they start steering Congress and find out what Congress did after Grover Cleveland assigned Hawaii to it. And we have an election out here that exceeds what a dark horse candidate winning would have been in a presidential election this season, sir.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to listen. Thanks.
Pardon me? Okay. I lost you there if you were done, I guess, Curtis. But anyway, I just saw this this entire process kind of sickening in that was what was being presented and how they paraded the civil defense and the National Guard. They did a good job anyway. I mean, we were apparently we were ready, but we need to see Neil Abercrombie for 30 minutes or more standing there just groveling over whatever it was, that babbling. I mean, it was like the Tower of Babel, I guess. That's what we'll call the Civil Defense Tower now, because it was just, that's all it was. And I'm looking forward to seeing a great debate on the issues that are coming. And let me share some of the things that bothered me as this election, the primary coming up to that. Here's some of the things that I heard, and they were rather disturbing. And this is from a cross section of the community, many people. And I don't know if it was intentional, or this is the politics of the dirty side of politics, or the whisper campaign. But follow me and follow this. What I heard was this whole effort now, if you vote for Ige, this was the Japanese, quote, the Japanese way of the Japanese community sticking together and the Japanese community trying to take over. You get that kind of nonsense. So, my only retort to that is to ask this question. Well, then we have a white male and a white, two white males, one in governor's role and one in the mayor's role. Was that a white conspiracy? Or was that a tag team of whites playing the game? You see, that's somewhat the sneaky way. And believe it or not, these kinds of comments can catch fire and you end up being taught to vote out of ignorance. But be on guard and watch for that. It was, no one had a problem. I never heard it there. Oh, well, you know, the whites are conspiring to take over. You had Carlisle, and then you had, now you have Caldwell, and then you have Abercrombie. Never heard that. But as soon as viable candidates such as Ige and Takai and Setsui and others, it's all of a sudden, Hanabusa, it's described as the Japanese taking over. We're smarter than that, and we're not as racist in our ways. So those of you that are out there, and you know who you are that came to me with this, I call it crap. Just I share it with the listeners to let you know that if the vote is about ethnicity, then we're all guilty. If that's what it's about, because we see certain sections and sectors in the state here leaning to one ethnicity and what have you. So don't come out and then all of a sudden you see it's just the way things played out. You have a chance to put your name on the ballot. And if you believe that there's a grand conspiracy, put your name in the ballot and run for office. Dilute what you claim is pollute. You know, stay away from the racist commentary and the tones, you know. But it is just absolutely mind-boggling that a governor can lose in such a large number. But given the facts and what we know has transpired and what we see, how Abercrombie behaved, we were basically under his control, under his spell. That's why I felt that he was presenting himself. Caller, good morning. Go ahead. Do you have a comment or question?
Yes, I do. What I really thought was offensive is that the people of Hawaii just sent a strong message and voted Abercrombie out. And then he stands there at his campaign headquarters, which is Attorney General David Lilly. And I say out loud, his Attorney General, because David Lilly is not for the people, clearly. And he announces to the public, Abercrombie says, I'm going over to Iggy's. And I'm going, no, go home. We don't need a slithering snake. Now he's trying to get himself and his minions into Iggy's campaign and back into the office. It was creepy, creepier than the storm.
Well, I think it might be suspect, but this is what politicians do. I mean, they are the party, right? Never forget that. This is a party, so they can beat down one another. They go in a room and they bloody one another up, but when they come out of that room, they're all fresh and stitched up and presenting a party. So I don't think he slithered in. This is the nature of the beast of the party and the partisan politics. You lose, and I mean, he's a great actor. I think he should get an Emmy at minimum, because if I lost in such a fashion, I would probably somewhere be drinking my sorrows away, the way I would be doing it, getting my cheapest bottle of wine, and I would drink myself to submission or something. But that's what they remember. This was just the primary, and so they have to, because it would be just the opposite, reverse of that, is that if he sour grapes and didn't rally, then he would really be his integrity would be impugned, and it wouldn't leave him sitting well historically anyway, you know. Sore loser, and not for the party. So he has to go and do it for just the preservation of oneself, right?
Well, I just hope he and the rest of Iggy and everybody get the message that, you know, this is enough of a failed appointed administration with high paychecks getting nothing done for the people.
Mm-hmm. Well, we don't know. I was just still trying to find that $860 million surplus. I've been trying to ask, going around. Anybody seen the $860 million?
Well, put that money back into the hurricane fund. You know, you took that from the homeowners, their insurance that you said they have to have. And now they're talking about rezoning and possibly mandating federal flood insurance.
Well, initially it was only $42 million, so I don't know if it was a total $800 million, but nonetheless, it raises many questions. But I felt like playing the Wizard of Oz song, but I thought I better not. I just that would be a
is that the king ding dong, the witch is dead.
No, we won't go there. That's taking humor too far. So, it is. I'm just having a great day of thinking that we, in the process, unless David Ige is going to be a total party man and keep all of Abercrombie's appointees and the agency heads. I don't know what his stance is on that. If he wins, and this is premature, if he wins, the general, what will he do? Will he keep hold over some of those people that Neil appointed? Because Neil has committed the state to many and obligated the state to many things, foreign entities are coming in here building and what have you. And so I think we are committed on the contract, possibly. So even though Neil's gone, the concern is that what has he obligated us to, right?
Well, hopefully they do a clean slate, not only of his administration, and they take serious the infrastructure. I mean, you watched him standing there with the Army Corps engineers not questioning anything. You brought up the sludge down in Wainaiʻi. You don't see any action on the molasses, the sludge, the Red Hill fuel leak. So I think we need a serious change, and it needs to be not only for the people, but the water, the land, the environment, and the future here.
Well, he definitely got his statement, with his letter of determination from the people, and I, for me, that is so awesome. That whatever reason the people voted, in my opinion, it was a needed action, something that really. And then, as I've said earlier, in earlier shows, if he, being Neil, then others should take notice that those politicians that think that they are working for the people and somehow gravitate from center line and become implements of big business and leaving the people's business done on a one day out of the 5-day work week. And then we then pay for that in higher costs and fees and what have you. And, you know, so he's the joy of this is going to be if Ige doesn't, we don't have a Gary low-level Gill anymore. You see, and the Gary low-level Gill, I say that because if you folks ever notice, this is what I've noted with the Neil Abercrombie administration. Anything that came had to do with environmental, it was, you would hear these words, we're not worried it has such low levels. This is Gary Gill, so I've deemed him Gary low-level Gill because if it's radiation, well, that's not a problem. It's low level. If it's salmonella, it's not a problem. It's low level. It's, you know, and it's like, okay, so it's salmonella in fish or what have you is not a problem. It's low level. But yet in my home, if I, Costco has salmonella in chicken, and they put a big notice out to recover it. Why are they recovering it if it's low levels, according to Gary Gill? Why bother?
Yeah. Well, I thought you said Malama Solomon, which but you said salmonella.
What?
When you said salmonella, for a minute, I thought you were talking about Malama Solomon because the people also spoke and she's out.
No, you better drink another cup of coffee. I don't see the connection, but anyway, salmonella and Solomon, I don't know, but if you say so. But what's your thoughts on that? I didn't get the full connection.
Well, that, you know, people are speaking up. They want the bad germs out. Enough is enough. Got to do the right thing for the people.
Yeah. Well, you know, we've talked about it here on this show. We had... we talked about Cabanilla, right? And then Matt Lopresti beat her out. And then there's Lorraine Inouye. She beat Malama Solomon out. So, but, you know, the problem here, talking about democratic process and the Democratic Party, remember, Malama Solomon is like Jason on Friday the 13th. She'll pop up somewhere else. The governor appointed her even though she lost, remember? So, you know, we're never out of the woods with this this process, but this was a very firm statement to Abercrombie from the people. Now we just have to keep managing it. Let me get the other caller here.
Thank you.
Caller, go ahead. You have a comment or question? I lost your caller. Try back again somehow. My fingers didn't do the walking. But anyway, Rita Cabanilla, she lost. And once again, they had so much in common, the arrogance, the insensitivity to the people and to the need in there, and forgetting what purpose they were elected to do and what purpose they claimed that they were entering politics for. Go ahead, caller. Good morning.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I want to hear about the Mississippi Mockingbird.
Okay.
And I also would like to say the highlight for me in my election, of course, the governor losing, but Jian, X-I-A-N, for the U.S. House 1st District. She got 2,786 votes. And one of the last things she was asked to say when she was interviewed, and what would you do, Jian? She said, I want to uncorrupt the corporations. And that is, for me, the essence of what's going on. The Honolulu City Council will have four new people. Well, no, Ernie Martin, Tommy Waters, Carol Fukunaga, two new people, Brandon Eglante, and I would like to see what they're going to do. For me, City Council is a revolving door. Menorah comes down, Monahan comes down, Dela Cruz goes up, and now you have Breen Orimoto unopposed. You have Dela Cruz, Romy Cachola unopposed. We're not in a democracy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd appreciate your comments.
Well, the comments I have, you mean on... Which one?
Specific? Oh, anyone. Anyone, anything doing with the environment, with the fiscal policy of this government, of Kaka'aku. There is so much here that's suspect.
Well, yeah, the whole tribe is suspect, you know, and it's like, as citizens, how do we win something so massive as a government that's supposed to be representing the people? And it has so many tentacles or angles to it. How do we, other than at the voting booth, take control over this? And because we vote these people in, and with the assumption that they're going to follow through with what they claim they were, we take them for their word. But I still, something that really does not set well with me is that we, the voters, must either redefine who can run and campaign spending and
yes.
All of that. We got to address that.
Yes.
Because the Supreme Court recognized companies now are businesses as entities.
Yes.
And so how are you going to compete with that? So as each step we make advance, we get slapped back with, and we're supposed to be a democracy. And so now we got businesses sitting right across the table being represented as individuals.
I'm not trying to change the subject, but Argentina is controlled by the New York stock market.
Mm-hmm.
And
so what happened here is that what we need to do is one step at a time, and this is a great step. I mean, you've been here for a while, I take it, right?
Yes, 69.
69. So have you ever seen anything like this? I mean, we know that the incumbent has never lost.
I'm from San Francisco, and I've traveled with people who are campaigning. And the Democratic Party here and there is entirely different.
Oh, yeah.
It's just amazing. This, I don't want to say unique, because how in the hell do I know about Philadelphia, New York, L.A., but it sure seems unique to me. The control that they have here is unbelievable.
It's unique in that it has similarities. Just an example. Like, if you go to Mexico, and you and I, we're gringos, and we want to go down there and buy some land. Well, we go, I want to buy that property and that build a house there. Okay, you can do that, but you got to go through Julio Sanchez to buy it, right?
Yep.
Well, here in Hawaii, our political climate and environment is exactly the same thing. We get look at all of these guys that when you see this mayor goes off to Philippines, goes off to Japan, goes off, right?
Yep.
and other city councilmen. They go off on these tangents. And what they're doing is inviting and serving as conduits, and they're going to get a little funding and a little money thrown their way for run for office, because that's what they want to do. They want to run for office, and we are for sale. And that is one of the problems we need to address as a democracy here, or a Democratic Party. And I know there's the Republican Party. I keep hearing from them that, well, only in Hawaii are we underrepresented. Well, then start talking about the issues that people here in this state want, and you probably will see more Republicans in state government.
You're talking to somebody.
You know, if all that I want to do is know who is having sex with who and what, don't complain that, well, you know, and then I'm having sex with Robert, but the Lord says...
I'll tell you this, I was an independent because I would not accept Republican, Democrat, Green Party for sure, and now who's running for the Independent Party but Murphy Hanneman?
Oh, wait now, we were having a good discussion here, and then now all of a sudden you introduced it. But follow this and call the one that's holding. I'll get to you. Mufi is running.
Yes, he's running for the Independent Party.
Yeah. Is there anything in this state independent?
He's got 1,899 votes, according to the governor, Democrat, Republican, Libertarian, and Independent. He's got those votes. I'm looking at the newspaper today.
Well, I hope that he's going to be willing to address his involvement with PRP and Mr. White. This is good topics and good subjects that I'm hoping that as a candidate in the Independent Party, he is willing to answer, because when we see that John White and all the craziness that came out about the lies and the surreptitious behavior with PRP, Mufi Hanneman benefited from that whole orchestrated effort, right?
Sierra Club, they're all... This one thing that bothers me is all these different agencies.
Yeah. So hold on one second here. Hold on. Caller, good morning. Go ahead. Your comment or question?
Yeah, you can upset apple carts pretty easy out here. For example, if people just ordered their merchandise from Amazon.com, it come in Federal Express, and that takes a bite out of slime out here. Now look, this American political process is simple. We just need representatives in the Senate and in the Congress or the House that are gung-ho with Hawaiian sovereignty, that are gung-ho with Hawaiian nationalism, that take up the charge of running the Congress that President Cleveland assigned the Congress to do, and go on like that. It's not a big deal. And if we got people that have Olaf, and if we got people that have that, whatever Pope says all the time, I'm getting tired. We got it made. Let's try it. Come on.
Yeah,
I'm going to lay down.
Each time you talk, you've mentioned Hawaii independence, and it sounds like, Curtis, you have an axe to grind with the issues. And in a democracy, people have a right to attempt to accomplish and what it is that they believe they're rightfully entitled to. You know, I don't know. I didn't get the one on the FedEx, but, you know, if you want to call back, and I was going to ask you what was a FedEx thing, you know. I didn't get that, what was the relevance or how would it relate. You know, I'm not the sharpest guy here, so please call back. I'd like to get further on that, what you meant by the Federal Express. What was it? FedEx. So anyway, but yeah, Richard.
Yes.
Back to your question.
Well, can I comment on international trade and globalization?
Okay, go ahead.
We are not isolated. In real estate, location, location, location. In the world, for real estate, Hawaii, Hawaii, Hawaii. They're coming from every direction, east, west, north, south. It doesn't matter what country you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And the way this was allowed by something you said about 5 minutes ago, these international trade junkets,
mm-hmm.
and the way in which they'll hold conventions here for just million billionaires.
Mm-hmm.
And the single purpose is to invest in Hawaii
mm-hmm.
at the cost of Hawaiian people. Who in the hell can afford at the minimum, or I guess medium price, $700,000? Kaka'aku, Hawaii, land owned by the city, land owned some by the state, land owned by the Bishop Trust, and land owned by her the billionaire, the aircraft person.
Howard Hughes.
Howard Hughes. Now, how did that all occur? Through contract. Contract through whom? Zoning. Who gave them the opportunity to even make an offer? And who agreed to that offer? The Zoning Commission, whatever names they have at both the state and at the city level.
Mm-hmm.
And how did they do this? They're bought.
Mm-hmm.
Forgive me. They're bought. We do not have a direct democracy. We have a republic. That means somebody else selects the people that we're going to vote for. And the people that are going to be presented to us for our vote go along.
Yeah, well, let's not ignore the success that's at our doorstep here. We voted out an incumbent,
yes.
One of the person who has become masterful at importing cost and impacting the local population,
yes.
Bringing in, importing in, and inviting in foreign entities to establish business here, drive up the prices, and you and I left with these piddly incomes or retirements and as yep. Senior citizens. No protection, no thought, and then, well, you know, this is a free enterprise nation, and we can't just give favors to citizens in the interest of business. That would be discriminating. Well, we have to now start thinking, okay, good move on the part of the voter. We voted Neil Abercrombie out. Not just Neil. Forget if it be anybody, but we didn't like his ways. It's a good start, right?
Yeah, and what you said before, and someone on other caller said before about the people that he has used for his administration.
Yeah. Hold on 1 second. Caller, go ahead. Do you have a comment or question?
Let's hear it for Howard Hughes, the Spruce Goose and Aviation. If you shop, online, get it delivered Federal Express, usually, or UPS, or United States Postal Service, you can imbalance trade out here. But you talk about using voting power, good. In the off-season, use your buying power to set things up, and let's keep leaning towards Olaf and Hawaiian sovereignty and nationalism, and let's learn some new lessons in this world.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Caller, go ahead. You have a comment?
Hello?
Yes.
I'll let you go. The liberalization of trade and the international trade here, the whole concept of neoliberalism, etc.
Well, sister cities, and I understand diplomacy, and I understand going abroad and becoming friends, but we don't have even a commission to sit back and assess what impacts, real impacts, and we're inviting these. If we were to treat it as simple as a alien species, and I'm serious, it would be, if you brought a vine in because it was pretty and had flowers, the environmentalists and the biologists and the agriculture department would make certain assessments, and they would say, well, okay, the potential of this getting in, it bears seeds, but the seeds need to be stratified, scarified, and, the whole process. So it meets a certain test, and it minimizes the threat to the other native species.
Yep.
Okay. But in business, Ernie Martin can go abroad, Manahan, Kobayashi,
yep.
Manure, and all of them can go abroad. but no one has a list of them for them. Well, how is this going to impact the local population of senior citizens or the fixed income people, the people who bought a house, managed to buy a house in a certain market, but now can't pay the taxes because the taxes are jumped up like steroids because you've invited other companies, right?
Yep.
We don't have that. I don't even know if there's a task force that even have convened.
At every level, there are no regulators.
Right.
And at every level, they accept the market price.
But not even regularly. I mean, this is, and I could be wrong if someone out there knows that there's something that is in place that when we invite entities into, foreign entities in here with a big purse, do we have the ability to put that, submit the impacts or assess the impacts on the local population of senior citizens, on retired individuals, or people on fixed income, all of that, right?
Yes.
Or the people low income, or that have no money, that be thrust on the streets and into the bushes and in the kaabi trees.
Yes.
Right? And I think that is what is really, I sit back and watch this, I don't believe we have that in place. If we do, it's dysfunctional.
Yep.
But again, I could be wrong.
I agree with you. The last thing I might want to say is privatization. This partnership, public partnership with private.
Oh, yeah.
That is highly suspect.
Oh, it privatization has it is a weevil.
Yep.
And if you want, because what I've witnessed now, the city, for just taking an example in the state, they privatize a lot. So you don't see them reducing the workforce. They bring in that population because they have contractual agreement with unions, and you can't just lay people off. And if you're a state that half your purpose in existence as a state government is to generate jobs.
Yep.
And so if that's what you're doing, then, and you privatize it, you're now increasing a cost.
Yep.
And now you have two teams of people trying to kick one football.
Yep.
You know, it's like...
maybe, Mr. Cox, I'll be finished now, but just to give you an analogy, I think a direct comparison you make. But anyway, the rail. When they started the rail, they had the government, city, state, they had the University of Hawaii expertise, they had the private corporations, and they had the public. They didn't go through that process at all.
Mm-hmm.
It was all fixed.
What if, let's say, just take a fancy restaurant, Alan Wong's.
Yep.
And he's gotten his name now and served good food and whatever, you know, and he's high up there and the president comes because it's a good restaurant. What if he decides, I think I'll, rather than having cooks here in the kitchen cooking the steaks and the lobster and all whatever they serve, I'm going to hire it out and have them to bring it and cook it and bring it back through the back door.
Yes, exactly.
You know, something.
No, because where did the four expertise, where the men who were here that gave the city the right to expertise to pick steel wheel, and where do they come from? Not one of them is from Hawaii, only one, and that was Prividoris.
And so you look at talking about privatization. Remember that all that this is something goes back to Mufi Hanneman and some others, but Mufi stands out when the city council went abroad to look at various methods of handling our waste and solid waste and right and all of that whole people flying jet set crew going back wine and dine to Japan and Germany and you name it and. Going to invite, but they never did. And then they knew while going abroad, looking in a hole to see how they could dump trash in the Indian or the Native American country.
Yep.
They over here, knowing that they're sucking the blood of the taxpayer to build a H power plant with a third boiler.
And they are still doing it.
Yeah. You,
all these years.
You know, it's like they have no shame. I mean, it's like, wow. So,
the key word is unconscionable.
I mean, remember the we're going to ship out our trash?
Yes, I remember big barges up to Oregon or wherever they were going to send.
How are you going to do that? Are we going to put it in saran wrap? You know, well, where do you get the expertise? Well, I used to put sandwiches in my bag and go to school.
Jesus, unbelievable.
I think there should be a movie done on stupid government tricks.
Well, I tell you what should happen. There, if it's possible, pass the state now level of authority, and it should be federal. Everything should be investigated. Federally.
Well, this is going to call back in next hour because I want to know. Have you seen? Are you sitting down or?
Yes, right.
Okay, you're not near a window or anything, are
no.
you? Okay, I just I don't want you to. But you know, I just drove over to Farrington Highway, and Richard.
No.
Hey man, they got a span of the rail.
No.
It's erected, brother. It's
up there.
It looks.
No. I'm going to hang up, but let me tell you from the Mississippi Mockingbird here that I'm going to lie down in front of a tractor.
Well, don't do that because you know why? We may have no wheels on it.
They've stolen all our money.
They've stolen. We can't afford to buy any wheels. Our government is, with that $860 million budget, surplus.
General excise tax is killing me, 0.05%.
Really?
I'm on Social Security, for crying sakes.
What's secure about social?
Well, I'll tell you, it really helps. It helps.
So,
when I think about voting Republican just because of how bad the Democrats are.
Yeah, I was thinking the other day, the people on Social Security, what is secure about the Social Security in this state when the cost is, you go buy a gallon of milk?
Oh, God, please.
Well, I mean, not that you should be drinking milk at our age, but...
No, I do. I just did. I mean, because I understand 0.05% added to 4% because of Mufi and Lingua, and now the state takes 10% of the 0.05%, and they're all in it together.
Yeah, and so let's keep voting smart, and
yes,
and even if Ige or Iona... the nice thing, we know Iona. We know what he... can do and can't do, and we're going to talk about some of that as the elections progress, because I still have unanswered questions. I want to know what he think, if he still can deliver all citizens of this state and everywhere else to God and Jesus and what have you, because I don't want to go down that path. I just want to believe in that old Kiavi tree sitting over there, and I worship it because it provides shade. And the birds come and sit there and sing, and I can drink a cold drink and look at the ocean.
We have to do our investigation, our diligence. We have to understand what's going on.
Well, we'll talk in the next hour if you'd like to.
Thank
Aloha.
You very much.
Thank you. Aloha.
Stay tuned for the second half of The Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108. It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now here's Carol.
Okay, good morning again. Welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. Caller, go ahead. Thanks for waiting. You have a comment, a question?
Hi, Carol. How are you doing?
I'm fine.
Interesting song choice, I got to say.
Well, well, what's happening?
Not much. You know, I mean, I voted a couple days ago down at City Hall, and let's see. You know, I voted for Abercrombie. I'm going to say this. The Coa Ridge and the whole PD, right? That was when your area of environmentalism. That's where. You know, Abercrombie, I mean, he angered some people. He got, you know, licked very bad last night for sure, yesterday for sure. Thing is, you know, I guess I think he did a lot of things right. I think on the pension tax, he was right on principle. I think on gay marriage, he's absolutely right on principle. I think he did some good things. I do understand about his flip-flop on the environment and stuff, and I do understand where you're coming from. I very much do. The thing is I guess my question is, if Ige's go on and become the next governor, is he going to revert, or is he going to reverse those developments, or how do you feel he is as someone, as an environmental person? What do you think about that?
Well, I know that Ige is a bureaucrat. He's been around government for a long time. Neil Abercrombie didn't cause our failures that we note single-handedly. There are many of things that, as a concerted effort on the part, it relies, the legislators are just as guilty. But
yes.
The problem is, Neil is the top man, and let me just when one say, well, I know your stance on just the environment. The environment is just one aspect of the way I work to try to convey an injustice that is being perpetrated on a people, and that is, let's just take for example, we know that Neil was quite active in bringing in the new developments on the military bases. And right, and housing and what have you, correct?
I just don't know that much. I take your word, sure.
And as a congressman, reaching out and bringing money and funneling money
sure,
and,
sure,
and developing and increasing the population on the military.
And that continues. I'm going to throw this in. We had a $601 billion defense budget,
mm-hmm.
Okay, and it's loaded with obsolete weapons programs, things like that, and each little congressman gets their share of the pork.
Right.
And even one of the Tea Party people, they voted for it, and because they could get their little chunk of the pork, you know. And these people ran. They ran saying that they were gonna cut debt, they're gonna cut deficits, and this budget, it gave the Pentagon, and it gave the Pentagon and the Defense Department billions and billions more than the Pentagon had asked for. Billions and billions and billions more than President Obama had asked for.
But this is Congress, right, giving them this money?
Yes.
Okay.
It was passed by the House of Representatives about a month and a half ago. And
right.
A lot of people just kind of don't notice that. They don't. But this is, you know, huge amounts of pork. And the only thing I could see, in all of our representatives voted for that, okay, all of them.
Right.
And Dan Inouye, he used to say, hey, this is my job. I'm the king of pork. I'm supposed to bring home the bacon to my home state. And that's you know, part of the problem is that, that's part of the problem. So,
mm-hmm.
But yes, you're right. That's, they vote for these things and development and money and bringing home the bacon.
Well, let me finish my what I was trying to convey, and maybe,
yes.
I think the shortcomings is that when my comments are not just based on a bird sitting in a tree and how it's going to be impacted, and the quote encapsulated in a little pill called the environment.
Mm-hmm.
It is all the human elements and aspects that go along with it, because it could be in any subject. If you're insensitive to the environment, then you really have problems, because we need the environment to exist no matter what political faction you're with or whatever. If we have no environment, that's the cradle. So basically, when one say, well, it's just the environment, no, the environment is the cradle from which we all come from and which we all will go back to and which we all depend on. That's
very excellent. It's true.
And period. And so for many years we've been, it's been belittled and minimized. But what I will say in the vein of Neil Abercrombie, and not just one aspect, an open government and a transparent government is what Neil Abercrombie served in. That's what the theory is. That's what was being bantered about. That's what we were taught in our schools, and that's what we yearn to have, open government. So let's take actus lendlis. That's a major development on military base and properties and what have you, and they built many houses on there and other places, and other companies came in, and Kaneohe Marine Base, and there's contamination in the soil. And the state health department spends hundreds of thousands of dollars enforcing that and trying to regulate that. And when they find that they exceeded those numbers and they couldn't adhere to that or didn't want to, under the Neil administration, Neil allowed the changing and the increasing of the EALs, environmental action levels. So not just the fact that Core Ridge, so what do we have? We have situations where right now if you go along Nimitz Highway over in that area at Hickam, there's a mound dedicated solely to contaminated soils. And yet we paid for that land to be remediated and had strict conditions. Well, the state here office waived those standings and increased them. That's just one. And we built Kaneohe Marine Base. I used to go over there and work, and we talk about preserving the land, and they needed more room to build houses and and to accommodate soldiers. And this was all part of Neil and Inouye and the others bringing in that port. Well, now we learn that they're going to cut 16,000 jobs or soldiers from here. So take those houses, for example. You built, Aliamanu is loaded now with houses, Red Hill area and many other areas. Take those houses and introduce them to the market. We're not going to need them for soldiers. We don't do that because we have Forest City, we have all of that, and then we have Kaka'ako and Waianae and houses, homeless living along this river street there, River Road, and up on Dillingham. So these are the things that Neil Abercrombie failed. He came in and he fixed the Turtle Bay, right?
Yeah.
He got resolution to that. But did we fully address all of the Kupuna Ivi issues? Did we fully address the endangered species issues? I mean, many tried for years, couldn't do it, and Neil came in and did with a few environmentalists who agreed to stand on TV and say it's a good deal. It wasn't a good deal. So,
what wasn't a good deal?
The Turtle Bay.
You think so? That wasn't.
Many things that have gone yet to be addressed.
I thought it, generally speaking, it was a preservation thing, and it was for preservation. I thought you would have agreed with that.
But, yeah, not. You know, all people that believe in the environment don't go and just lick out of the same bowl and go, "Oh, this is great."
Sure,
that's great.
Sure.
No, we don't. We're.
I understand. I'm just inquiring. That's all.
The Kool-Aid is. We don't just drink the Kool-Aid and go, refreshing, great." No, it doesn't.
I know you're your own. You have your own opinion. You think for yourself, and you know you're pretty.
But others shape.
I guess you're a purist, you know.
No. I'm a child learning still. I don't know half of what I thought I knew. It's an opinion,
sure.
but my opinion is shaped, unfortunately, by others, by their actions. Because government is a unique animal. When you step across that line, and say I don't just want to be a citizen. I want to be a governor and I want to strike a balance here where I will preserve the interests of all.
Yeah.
You see, that's not my responsibility to be asked, well, you know, you don't like this guy. No, I'm saying that this is what is required of good governance, period.
Yeah.
And
okay,
if you...
Can I ask you a question, another one?
Yeah, go ahead.
Interrupting. Hey, I got a question. Okay, what about, did you have, you mentioned that, you know, Abercrombie took, a lot of people seem to get the impression, you know, he was rough around the edges, you know, kind mm-hmm. of a pushy, you know, kind of guy, and that didn't have the kind of collaborative style, all that type of stuff. I think some of those things that I think he got the same-sex marriage done because of that. I mean, it served him well in some situations, but maybe not in others. So my question is, though, you were kind of giving him a hard time because maybe he wasn't on your show, but did David Ige, did he come on your show? Just wondering.
Well, when you say I'd give him a hard time, how about just simply saying, start with way back, I requested that I be placed on a simple, as a radio show host, be mm-hmm. placed on a list, an electronic list that would generate press releases mm-hmm. from the governor's office.
Right.
And I was told by De La Cruz, Donald and De La Cruz, his
right.
spokesperson at the time, that his administration didn't believe that I rose to the level of getting a press release from, like many other hundreds or thousands of people do, because I was an environmentalist, and she thought that I was, the administration apparently thought that I was just interested in environmental things. That's just one.
Okay.
But again, I beg of you not to belittle, because you see, let's take the landfill, the medical waste.
Mm-hmm.
The way that was handled, it
yeah.
was we have a collection of meetings and orchestrated with the city, the contractor, Waste Management Hawaii, and the EPA, but the public was never brought in on that and apprised of what was happening, and they presented that something was bad happening in January 13th of 2011, when in fact what they were lying about was had occurred in December of 2010. You see, the devastation, the heavy rain, and all of that, and then the release of the medical waste. They had documentation to know that all of that was going into the well, but didn't tell the people. And
mm-hmm.
you know, so I'm very careful not to assign a role of, well, I don't like Neil. These are the things
yeah.
that Neil has an obligation.
Let me define that. All I'm saying is like giving him a hard time. You were his brochure that had Miami on it. You were playing the Miami song. I mean, that's all. You know, I understand. It's not about hating someone.
Right.
I really get that. It's about the policies, and it's a good debate. It's about democracy, and you know, I respect. You know, I'm
right.
just saying, you know, come on. I mean, it you weren't very happy with them, and that's understandable.
Well, no. Well,
right.
No, was I not just happy with him? I'm sitting here right now recovering from a hole in my damn head because his administration tolerated the illegal activities on state land and received my complaint, and I went and sat and talked with his special agents under his director of, what's his name, the attorney general. I went 3 days or 4 days before I was assaulted to give uh-huh. testimony on bribery and a written statement and other information to his special agents under the attorney general. They
right,
didn't do a
right.
damn thing. When I got assaulted, what they called me up, and to date I'm still waiting to see if they're going to prosecute, if they're going to take legal action. But what I was told, well, we were told by the attorney general's office, this is the state health department, to hold off and don't investigate any of your reports of illegal dumping because something big is coming down. You understand? And the call that I got from the special agent is that, oh, I'm sorry to what happened to you. Are you okay? Be careful. In normal settings now, normal settings, people say, wait, if you're a witness for the government or in a criminal activity and you're a witness and you've come in you are afforded a protection, not just as a citizen, because someone is interfering with government function, right?
Right.
So, to date, I still wait for a simple initiation of we're going to take action on this.
Right.
The entity that I filed the complaint and gave a formal statement where he formally declared that he had given bribes to a state worker on the Hawaiian homeland, and they did nothing. So we're not just talking about what I don't like about Neil.
Right.
This is a matter of life and death.
Yeah, no, I hear you, and I know you were assaulted and all that. It's complicated to hear you talk about it. I mean, I have a question. So when you're talking about bribery,
right?
It's complicated because it's a crazy story, you know what I mean? And it's like from someone that just hasn't heard it all about it before. It's like, wait, what? And who? Why? Where? Like bribery, you're saying, so when you say bribery...
Well, let me give that to you specifically. I'll tell you this. Well, hold on.
Governor was involved in this?
Look.
Involved in bribery? Is that what you're saying?
No, look. You're going to hear the whole story or part of the story, but whatever it is, it appears that the more I give you, the greater the inquiry is, and I'll leave it at this. When I say bribery, I provided a statement. The individual name is Chad Suarez, a tenant leasing land from the Department of Hawaiian Homeland.
Oh, I see.
And in turn, that he indicate in formal statement that he gave kickbacks and payments to a state worker and a land agent for the DHHL.
Yeah.
But then I also found 13 ton of hazardous waste dumped there in the same area on Hawaiian homeland. That's just one of many cases that I've brought to the attention of the Hawaiian homes, and they blew me off, okay? But it's in the interest of the public. So when I say Neil, he appointed them. I have video recordings where Neil is, Daryl Young, sitting in a meeting telling George Grace that we could do something for you, work out a deal for you on the racetrack, but we can't do that now because our hands are tied and we're on the microscope and the governor can't do anything now because of Carol Cox and the media writing these stories. So when you folks listening and the defenders of Neil or any politician, just learn that there are some of us that tax ourselves with finding the facts and leaving the emotion out. So when you characterize it as being really hard on him or attacking him, know it may be with a little vinegar, but the facts and the truth are there.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And what you're saying, I mean, it sounds like there were some of the Hawaiian homelands, you know, a tenant, you're saying, was basically bribing to have, you know, get what he wanted, and obviously in giving kickbacks and stuff, obviously that's wrong. And
well, but also
it's part of his jurisdiction. I mean, he's the governor. These are his appointees, I'm going to guess, and whether they were the previous governor's appointees also, I don't know. But the thing is that you know, that is an issue, and it's you know, and you've paid the price, and it seems that you know, it's a messy kind of a thing, and it's
not messy. It's something that you vote people out of office for. It's not messy. There's always a solution, you see, and that's what I try to convey in this appearance when I sit here behind this microphone and say, hey, guys, take the personalities out of it. It's the solution, and no matter how we quantify it. You know, and the bigger picture is that's a fragment of the big picture, when in fact my efforts as a citizen was to try and expose and bring to the tables so that Neil himself could see what was going on. For example, this is a unique program. The Hawaiian homeland is to preserve the interests of the beneficiaries of the Hawaiian Homes Act, correct?
Yeah, right.
So let's not fragment and go off on a tangent about me name-calling him. Look at the bigger picture. This, when you have this kind of behavior tolerated in this administration and is brought to your attention. It shouldn't be occurring, and you should be monitoring and checking for it, number one. And when those that are found to be guilty of it, they should be prosecuted, because this administration or any administration shouldn't tolerate it. But, in fact, they don't, and they did tolerate it. And when I come along and bring it to them, the entire effort, the drive behind this, not just that one fragment of it, was to convey to the governor and the other legislators to say, look, the Hawaiian people deserve this by law, by statute, by congressional statute. They deserve this because that was a solution to offset the wrongs.
Right.
So
this is why, I mean, I asked you because you're saying that's why my question was, is just that, well, so this kind of begs the question, well, what's the next guy going to do for you? You know what I'm saying?
He's going to do exactly what's right, or we vote him out too. It's a process. It's like, you know, why do you empty your trash? You know you emptied, but why bother? You're going to return there in the next week. You're going to be eating and generating more trash. But you clean trash, right?
But also, I think it's a matter of simply, if you could ask him, and then you could get him on record saying he will look into that or something like that, then you kind of hold his feet to the fire, because you know how politicians are. You got to kind of hold their feet to the fire a little bit. And, you've got a platform, and I think, I just think you gotta push the next guy. If Abercrombie wasn't serving your needs, then, you know, and the problem, I'm not just saying your needs, but the problem that exists, you know what I mean? What's the next guy gonna do?
Keep my phone number and my email address, and I will demonstrate to you that if you're screwing the people, I'm gonna be there to help you stop unscrewing. You're not gonna do that, and who am I? I'm a nobody. But the point is that if you're bad government, I've been there, done that, and I know the impact of corrupt government and people that lie in government and cheat, because people get hurt. Kakaako, children sleeping on the street. People are homeless. They don't have to be there. Senior citizens are losing their home. We got mental illness on the streets. We can't, and we're inviting others to come to town to build playgrounds. So I only ask that. Try not to put things in a nutshell. Listen to what I say. There's a big story that I, you know, when I talk, I'm talking about a tree, many branches, and they relate to everything, good government. When the beneficiaries of the Hawaiian Homeland Act is standing in line and dying, waiting on the list, and you have people tricking the system and getting leases when they want to and how they want to and not following the process, and then you're having this land being polluted, and what have you, and the illegal dumpings, and then you have to go to the state health department, who was appointed, the heads were appointed by Neil Abercrombie, right?
Right.
I don't want, let's take the molasses, for example.
Yeah.
Where are the answers to that? Why did it get treated with cloak and secrecy?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think these things happen. It's like we had the sewage break, you know, and it was, you know, which was a city and county thing.
Right.
Lingle didn't want to go near it, and Mufi Hanneman was in office, and, you know, it was a really bad thing. But I think, you know, a certain amount of bad stuff that is maybe is somewhat out of your hands. You're responsible on the one hand, but, you know, It's stuff's gonna happen. I mean, there's still gonna be a traffic accident or two when you're the governor.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I'm saying? But you're trying to do everything to do, you know, to prevent this stuff and make things run smoothly. I will say this, you know, like, I'm wondering about this because you mentioned the guy by name and things. I mean, did you go to the government first and sort of give this information to them, or did you just come right out and publicly kind of call this guy out in public? And because I'm not saying that. I'm just saying maybe.
I know where you're going with this. I know where you're going with this. If you're,
but it's a little scary, you know, when you do that.
No, it's scary for people like you to draw conclusions when you know you have a certain point you want to express. It has nothing to do with reality. No, I did not. Wait, I did not go and speak it on the street first. I went to the government because I'm cautious not to impact any investigations they may have had. You understand?
Okay.
So let's assume that I'm an intelligent person, first of all. If we start off there,
sure,
I guarantee you half the brain cells you've used to have this discussion, you wouldn't have tired them out. Because if you stop back and remove those terms like you're upset with him, you know, and trying to ride on him. And
I'm
all
talking about you played the Miami song. That's all. That's
it's
all
a good song, play. Brother. It's a good song. You.
It's a good song. a poke. Can we say a poke? Is that fair? I don't know.
It's freedom of – it's called freedom of speech.
Absolutely.
And it's called if you may think I'm a nobody, I think I'm a somebody, so welcome aboard.
On the radio, okay?
This is
that's something.
The proof is in the pudding, man. He lost substantially.
Oh, I know. You know,
and guess what? And I only have one vote. So
yeah. No, he
yeah, you understand.
Here, let me break it down for you. just in case you didn't already know this. He, the people that he upset are many. The old people, I think Ige took advantage of that issue because he scared them all to thinking they're going to be taxed and stuff, which isn't even true. There was going to be a big exemption, and Ige just kind of
right.
grabbed hold of that populist issue. And like I said, Abercrombie was absolutely right on principle on that, but
mm-hmm.
it's just that older people vote and he scared them all, and so he won. That helped him. But also the teachers, basically, he said Abercrombie didn't give the teachers immediately exactly what they wanted because, you know, the money was tight.
Right.
I think he was okay on that, too. Japanese Americans, he appointed Schatz. He did not appoint Hanabusa, which was, and I get it, you know.
No, you don't, because you're assuming that. Because the entire population of Japanese people are now pissed at Neil because he didn't appoint Hanabusa.
Well, there's something to that. There's something to that.
In your world.
I get it because, look, No. Now, you're the one making assumptions.
No, I'm just telling you.
You what I have to say.
Did you talk to every Japanese citizen in the state of Hawaii?
I'll tell you what.
Did you? Yes or no?
Milton Kerr, who was reporting last night, he mentioned Japanese Americans. They're Japanese, I guarantee you, I will bet money on it right now over the air. Any amount of money you want to bet. Japanese Americans as a group voted for Hanabusa, voted for Ige over Abercrombie by greater proportions than the rest of the electorate.
And only because, but, Neil, wait, only because they were Japanese and not that they were logical in their thoughts and reasonable and decided that he's made bad policy.
No. All of the above. That's why. It's just increments. You know, that's how you win election. You get a little bit here, a little bit there,
yeah.
a little bit of the old people, a little bit of the teachers, a little bit of the environmentalists.
Right.
He got slammed. I'm not saying I'm sure there's Japanese Americans listening right now that said, no, I voted for Abercrombie. I get it, and I get the fact that, in a way, he's the 442nd guy. I know the whole heritage, Japanese Americans, and it's not every Japanese American. The campaign manager for Brian Schatz is Japanese, AJA, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's fine. I get it. There's many principled people. It's just a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and before you know it, you've lost everybody.
So we'll apply the same theory in most of the states in the United States and all the communities that are primarily Anglo-Saxon or WASP. Would that be okay? That everybody they vote for is based on their racial and ethnic collection?
It's a factor. I would say that is a factor. I mean, we've got...
Yeah.
It always plays a role. Not with every voter. I mean,
yeah.
And not with every voter. I would like to think we all make a choice on principle and everything like
mm-hmm.
that. But let's be real. I mean, it does play a factor with some voters, and that's all I'm saying.
Well,
tear down and say this whole thing was decided by that single factor. It wasn't. That's why I'm listing all these different factors.
Well, I think
It was just one.
Here's what I would suggest. It seems that everybody is brilliant now in their thinking. Then Neil should have incorporated these thinkers before the election and then incorporated their thoughts and all of this about the AJA, if it's true, and all of that. And then he would be on the winning side rather than the losing end. But you know what happened?
But he wasn't just about winning. And I think he did. He wasn't in it just for pure self-interest. He's been around for a long time. He thanks for the free pension, David Ige. He's going to get a nice tax-free pension for the rest of his life.
Right.
He's not in it. He's done with the self-interest stuff.
Well,
I do think that he's got a lot of flaws. He's got a lot of flaws.
Nobody's perfect.
You know, he's going to be, and he lost badly. And he's accepted it, you know. That's it. He's moved on, like he said in his concession speech. He's moving on and moving ahead.
Well, I'm glad he got some people out there. I mean, I don't hate him, but I just remind people that, you know, no matter if you see the little guy sitting in the corner over there, he can vote. He can speak. And if you treat him like crap, he may just be the nucleus for someone to rise up and start speaking. He may be motivated to convey to others of his ilk that this man is no good. So there's a danger of politics when you think you're bigger than all. And he's insulated himself, and he's unapproachable. And that's why when you're given the opportunity to go to four debates, then you get a chance to dispel the BS that's being bannered about you. But he chose not to participate, and I know he had some more pressing things, but this is the price you pay.
Yeah. No, I absolutely.
So you don't have to defend him. I would suggest to just tell him the next time he decide to ignore the people and give them a bona fide opportunity to query him and ask him what his policies are and let him speak for himself rather than pundits. Maybe he'll look at a different. We'll look at a different scoreboard.
I'll tell you a couple of guys that I respect just for their being available, and they'll talk to you anytime, anywhere. You know, I think it's something like one of those guys down in Hawaii, Kai, is like Gene Ward or something. I mean, he's one of the only Republicans, but you can call him day or night. You know, he lists his home phone number. You know, that's wonderful. I mean, that is absolutely wonderful. I always thought Ed Case was like that. I think, you know, Scott Nishimoto, he's my representative. He seems to be like that. I haven't tried to call him on his cell or if I even could get it, but he seems to be very, he's willing to sit down and talk.
And I got other people who've been waiting, but let me just say this. And I did have David Ige on my show 2 weeks ago. And it took something as simple as sending an email and saying to him, this is what I would like you to address, these specific. I'm not going to ask you specific questions in my email, but come in and I want to hear you answer my questions, rapid fire, what have you. No orchestration. Never got a response back from the others.
Oh, okay. But he was on your show. Yeah.
You can pick it up at carolcox.com. Go and listen to it. Right. It may have influenced two people to vote for him.
To his credit, that's why he won, and congratulations.
But let's always say this: when we step back, it was more than me and my comments and my vote that put Neil in his predicament.
Oh yeah.
So there were thousands, hundreds of thousands of others that voted, and so are we going to be checking in with them to figure out why? No, what I would say we gather from this is that all politicians, heads up, if you think you can be arrogant and continue on the route you do and ignore us, we'll vote you out.
Yeah.
It's that simple. And no matter how long you've been around, like they say, fish start to smell and so does relatives when they stay too long. So something was smelly about his policies and his willingness to bring in Hughes and the PLDC, and just a whole laundry list of things. So it's not just what I think.
We'll probably have a new guy. I think we'll talk about some of the new important issues the new guy face. But
it could be Iona now. Or it could be Mufi. So we don't know. So you follow?
Absolutely. It's just it'll be the general election. But whoever it is, there's plenty of stuff for them. They're going to have to tackle, and and, you know, good luck to them.
You know, I mean, and it might be this, the next lie perpetrators that somebody will float a letter. Did you know that it's really the Japanese government that's funding Ige, and once he gets in, he's going to dedicate the state to the Japanese people? You know, could be that.
You said that. I didn't.
No, I'm just saying, see, that these are the kinds of lies and the BS that's floated about in a state where people will lend themselves to bigotry. So let's stay away from that.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. I wasn't saying any such thing. I mean, I think there was a lot of constituencies that, you know, were not happy with them for a lot of different reasons.
What I would worry about is that I just heard that there was a flotilla of black people coming here, and their purpose was just come here and stay for 1 year to sign up and become so they can vote for the one black person that's running for office.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Well, okay.
Go with that.
And Obama is the captain of the ship.
Yeah, he is.
Make sure you get that word out now, and no black person
proud,
will win.
Proud to say I voted for him three times. I'm proud to say that.
All righty.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Caller, thank you for waiting. Go ahead. You're coming.
Yeah, well, I have kind of a mixture of things here, but I'll be brief. I want to go and ask you some questions about the whole Peely thing.
Okay.
That from somebody told me that there were 30,000 lots that were zoned but not built on in Ho'opili. I wonder if you know anything about that.
I don't know. If there's a call or someone listening, the call, I don't know the number of things, but that's an interesting topic. If you can get the numbers or...
Yeah, well, that's what I was wondering, is why weren't they built on, and why do we need to rezone any more land if we got these empty lots that have already been zoned?
Yeah, I was out there Friday,
uh-huh,
and looking at the rail and how it was moving along, and just thinking all this agricultural land is going to go to houses.
Yeah.
I don't know.
From what I understood, this land, these 30,000 lots had been zoned already for building, but they haven't been built on.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the question. And I wonder where are those lots, and what agency would I call for information?
I would start with the city zoning planning Department of Planning and Permitting, number one, and maybe they have a plan, and then the neighborhood board could lead you to, her name is Souza, Evelyn, for Kapolei.
Uh-huh.
And Eva Beach, I would check with those, and they can tell you the plan. There's a master plan or something.
I see.
And then I would say the land zoning, the state agency zoning.
Okay, I got that down.
I would do that, and then you would call OEQC, Office of Environmental Quality. That's Jessica Woolley.
Uh-huh.
Call her, and maybe there is a environmental impact statement or something associated with that, or an opinion that was issued, or an advice, or something. Those three offices, and you're more likely that there would be something on file, or go to their website, and you might be able to Google Ho'opili and see what that'll give you a lot more TMKs and what have you, parcels.
Well, that's very, very good information. Then one more comment I want to make. I'm jumping around. But,
no problem.
I wonder, what do you think about the weight of the people that voted against Abercrombie because of this too much development? Do you think that's a factor?
Yeah.
I do, too.
I think, as nervous as it makes me, and some people don't consider themselves environmentalists, but they buy their homes, for example. Let me give you an example, and I was going to talk about this week, but why some people are saying they're just caught off guard with this whole process. They buy a house in Westlock or buy a house wherever, and there's this beautiful view. And that goes into the assessed value, you know, the quality of it. And then all of a sudden someone puts a building up there and blocks it.
Right, so you look at a wall instead of a...
Right, and now you don't have the same value that you were being assessed, but yet you're being asked to pay the same assessed value.
Yeah, your taxes stay the same.
Now, that may seem to be unimportant, but on an individual basis, you beg fairness.
Well, yeah, and you just look at the, you know, right in Honolulu, all of the high-rises there, so we're talking about thousands and thousands of people that have been impacted now by blocking the ocean view. With
exactly, and no one gives them a refund. I mean, you got a building that sits on King Street, and now all of a sudden, boop, 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 buildings pop up, blocking your view, but your value of your property has diminished because you did have an ocean view.
That's right.
And no one is deducting that amount and making an assessment, so... that is why it is important that the mayor and the legislators and the city council fill these positions called the tax review boards. In Kapolei, for example, only one person is appointed to that board. They do not have a quorum, so therefore for 1 year they've not been able to hear matters such as you and I just speaking of. You follow?
Yeah.
So it's fraudulent. It's a process. Not just the mayor is responsible, but the city council and the state legislators who represent those areas should be aware and demanding that these boards be filled.
That's right.
Because it's due process, and it's affording you unfair taxing. Right?
Well, it seems to me, then, that the handwriting is on the wall with this, you know, to the degree that this has affected the election for the governor, the handwriting is on the wall for the rest of them, whether the city council and the mayor and the legislature and so on.
And we got momentum.
I think so, too. I think people have, you know, what do they say, that we reached the last straw.
Right, the boiling point, tipping point. There is in everything, there's a carrying capacity, and in the environment, certain areas can sustain itself, and then after a while it's collapsed.
That's right, and I think we got huge issues that are environmental issues, starting with the water thing.
And politicians better learn that even in their arena, there's a carrying capacity.
Yeah.
We can tolerate so much,
and then all of a sudden you reach the story of the 100th monkey. You know?
Then the basic natural definition is something got to give.
That's right.
It gives in the form of the voting booth, and then it's probably going to manifest itself in something else. People are sick and tired.
Yeah, that's what I feel, and I haven't felt that way before.
Yeah.
You know, too much. I just thought, well, it seems like the guys that I ever voted for disappoint me so much after they get elected. But one more thing, then.
Yes.
Oh, you got other callers. And that is, you wonder why you get shunned and undermined. There's one word for it. It's credibility.
Yes.
Because you have the credibility that far over the people that you need permission from to speak or whatever. So it's your credibility that scares the hell out of everybody.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank
Bye.
You so much. Aloha. Caller, go ahead. I'm apologizing for taking so long. Go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call very quickly. To confirm your last caller who asked if there was anything to land development, and that is why people voted against Abercrombie. Absolutely, absolutely. And what they've done in Kakalako, just go back 4, 5, 6 years ago and consider the Trojan horse of the rail and the TOD and all the land out there that's agricultural that was changed. Sierra Club and all those involved in doing this. And it's criminal, and I'm so happy he's gone.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. Now, you know, this is a... Let's go back somewhat here. This is an era when we saw a willingness to the DHHL under Neil Abercrombie to boldly request that their records, unlike other government agency matters and businesses, and which is of public matters, boldly presented a request to exempt itself from sunshine and transparency.
Yes.
I'm sorry, folks. It's not about what I think about Neil. You call it for what you want in a democracy, and under these red, white, and blue stripes and these stars. I'm sorry. I've been tricked into believing that exists. That's a reality. Freedom.
Yes.
Freedom of government. You know what I'm saying.
Yes.
Transparency.
I do know.
I'm a sucker for that. I mean, you wave the flag, and I roll over on my back, man. I'm just like any well-trained dog, you know.
Yes.
I respect that. Therefore, I don't abandon that. That is the only thing that a beacon of hope that I, even as dark as it is, as dreary as things can get, as abusive as cops or whoever can attack you, do whatever, you look at the flag and we know what that stands for. No one has proven that it doesn't work.
Accountability and transparency.
Period. And there's a constitution that goes with that, and then all of a sudden, you know, we as voters got to explain why we voted him out. Well,
go in peace, Mississippi Mockingbird. Bye.
Aloha. Good morning, caller. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Hi, Carol. This is great. Your caller before that was talking about credibility, and yeah, I mean, they're scared to death of all folks that actually have credibility and are actually trying to seek the truth.
Yeah.
Exposing the truth and transparency. They hate, they're scared to death of transparency.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've been trying to get the darn Colin Kippen for over a year to just have a darn little meeting with me. And, you know, I've called, just like you do, I call them, I sent letters to them, and not one reply, not one response. I mean, it's absolutely even rude. And every time I see him, he says, "Well, I'm very busy. You know, I'm important, and you're just a little guy. I know you have some real solutions, but you know, I can't be bothered with solutions. You know."
Yeah, appointing Colin Kippen to that job as a homeless czar, and the other folks that he appointed, Neil appointed, is like having a nurse afraid of blood. They're not there. You know, I'm afraid of the sight of blood. No, you are the homeless czar. You need to sit and talk with the homeless.
Oh, yeah.
You need to meet with them. You need to listen to them in order to incorporate things into a solution that you claim you have.
Yeah, he meets with his interagency council on homelessness.
Yeah.
And you know who those folks are made of, like that Vince fellow, the veterans fellow. All these are very nicely dressed. They drive nice air-conditioned cars, mm-hmm. and they have nice offices and very nice salaries.
But
and not one of them has experience.
But also bought with and paid for with government money.
Oh, but yep.
These programs are funded through grants.
Well,
government
and
grants, and then some private grants. But you understand.
Well, insult on the injury, they don't come up with any real solutions. And to tell the truth, they make things worse.
Well, but
this is
why I say we owe it to ourselves one big hand clap, because we need to pat ourselves on the shoulder as voters.
Oh, yeah.
You know, no single individual, no single action or inaction on the part of the governor failed. People, and this is why we have to stand back and appreciate what transpired here, what took place. Because an incumbent loses.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I kind of compare it with Governor Brown there in California, you know. His opponent had 10 times the money to spend on her campaign than he did, but he won, you know, because people in their gut, a lot of times, they get it, you know.
Well,
it was the same with Abercrombie. Yeah, what was it, $5 million against, he gets about $500,000, 10 to 1.
Well, but money don't change it. It's and that's what they've been led to believe, that if the more money you get, the better. And we've come to learn, actually, the guy that gets most money is most obligated to the outsiders and the factors that with big money. So we as small guys, more than likely, I believe this comes into play. Stay away from the guy with the big money, because with big money becomes obligation.
You know, and I think regular folks are starting to really get that. You know, such big time. They know this the corruption is all that money, and what it means. It means that there's been payoffs.
Yeah.
There's been the developments are going to go through when you have a Howard Hughes Corporation.
Well, let me just say this, and then we got to go to the listeners out there. Just understand something. Here's what the politician failed to know or incorporate into their thoughts and their daily activities. That though we're voters and taxpayers, they don't know or they dismiss the fact that the taxpayers are composed of people that talk colleges, there's teachers, mathematicians, CPAs, and everything else, right? And they can reason.
Yeah.
And I think that's and that's what they have failed to remember is that when we just say, well, the voter, well, the voter is comprised of some very sophisticated people.
Oh, yes.
And that's what bit Neil in the butt, period. That's just the way it is. There are people more sophisticated than he gave account to, and they said, well, you know what? You ain't delivering to us, and so therefore you can't shy away from us. And so anyway, I'm going to have to get off of here. And thank you, and we'll see you next week, okay?
Yeah. Well, I think a little justice has been done.
Oh, yeah, and just the beginning. Boy, does it taste good?
Yeah.
Oh, my. Oh.
By the way, I keep on telling Colin Kippen to go on your radio show, and of course,
Well, you think he'll do it in 4 months?
Yeah, really, no.
Okay. Well, anyway, see you later.
Hey, by the way, I'm going to be telling him where to go.
Okay, well, thank you. We'll talk to you later.
Aloha.
Okay. Okay, guys, thank you. And, hey, let's celebrate this, and let's look for the next people that want to take us for granted. We can do it. We can do it, and we did it. So thank you, and thanks for joining in, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.